Hey y'all, we are back for season two of Raw with a Purpose. I am Titania Harris, psychotherapist, author, speaker, CEO of TMH Behavioral Services, and founder of TMH Man Cave.
Hey y'all, this is Latasha Davis. I'm vice president of TMH Behavioral Services, couples, marriage, family, and relationship expert.
Tasha, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling good.
Clearly, because you're singing, okay? But you know, like in the past, we've talked about, you know, this is a mental health podcast, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. So I know in the past, we've talked about therapy and therapists and what people should look for when they're seeking therapy, when they're seeking therapists. But let's talk about these therapist red flags.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yes. So, you know, let me just say this. We may rub some folks the wrong way, but but I'm okay with that. But one of the most common things that I hear from clients who come from other therapists, one of the things I always hear is that my therapist talks about themselves a lot, right? Mm-hmm. If you are in a session and the therapist is talking about themselves too much, that's definitely a red flag. Let's get into that. Like,
yes.
And what we mean is, it's okay to share, but there's a such thing as oversharing.
Yes.
Like, you shouldn't feel like your therapist is your friend, especially not initially. In any setting, I think. You know, I'm super, super big on that.
She is.
But also, you shouldn't feel like you were the therapist in the session. And what I mean is your therapist spent the entire session talking about their issues, their problems, and what's going on with them. And you had no space to talk about how you feel. That is a red flag, which is why I encourage people on our team, our employees, our therapists, to have their own therapist so they can have their own space. You want to add to that?
Because I have a friend who, I'm not going to say, but have experienced that. And to the point, like, I just thought she needed the space, so I let her have it. I said, but you're paying for a service.
Yeah.
So if that person needed the space, they need to have their space that they pay for.
Yeah.
This is your time. So I definitely agree. Like, I understand in our culture, I understand when a client would say, I feel like that was my friend.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, this is my girlfriend, I'm finna kick it, the bobos with you, but more like it felt relatable, it felt familiar, it felt like it wasn't just me talking to someone and I'm feeling out of my element.
Yep.
So I understand when they're saying that, but friend, like, oh, we finna kick it, we finna be Facebook friends, no, that's where I draw the line.
I think so too. I think when I hear the word friend, I think about friendship.
Yeah.
And I know what kind of friendship I have with people, and so when people say that, I kind of cringe, because that's what I automatically think of. But I think you put it in a good way, like, not like we're kicking it, but like somebody I connected with, somebody I trust, right? Those are elements of a friend. Okay. So that's a red flag. I think another one is when a therapist is distracted. And what I mean is a therapist is texting, maybe sometimes eating. I always ask the client if it's okay if I eat during the session. Eating, looking at their phone. If you're in a virtual session, they're not paying attention because you're on camera. I think that's a big one.
It is a big red flag. I've heard that too. So I've definitely heard that. Even when intakes, when I ask the question, the reason for them coming to services with us.
Yeah.
I said, so have you been to therapy before? They said, yes. I said, okay, can you tell me the reason you're no longer with that therapist? Because I didn't feel heard. I felt like they was distracting. I said, well, Kings, I was in a session and literally my therapist had the phone up texting.
So disappointing.
And I'm like, oh my God, that's horrifying. But I said, I'm not that type of person, but I do say I will let them know, hey, I am a supervisor.
Yes.
If there's a crisis going on, I do have to have my phone on hand just in case something happens. So if you do see that, I will let you know.
Yeah.
So I do kind of have that disclaimer in the beginning. So no, I'm not just texting.
Yeah.
But that is something I just like, man, I understand sometimes like the ADHD kind of kick in, but not to the point that you're not listening and not paying attention to your clients. Like if that's happening, you got to check in with yourself.
Yeah.
And then also the clients need to be empowered to say something.
Yes.
You have to say something. Like, it's okay. You're paying for a service and you want your therapist to listen to what you're saying.
Yep.
And if they're texting or listening to something or outside talking to somebody, that is not okay. That is not cool. You need to say something.
Yep, you do. Because you are paying for it.
Yeah, that's a service. One that I know is under my skin.
What is one?
Therapists not staying in their lanes.
So
don't be saying.
What does that mean? Come on. I think I know where you're going with this, but therapists not staying in their lane. Let's talk about that.
Like, okay. I am a couples, marriage, and family therapist. Yes. That's what I went to school for. That's what I practice. That's what I love. That's my core. I'm not going to come nowhere saying I know how to do something that I'm not skilled in. Mm. Now, I know, like, when people come in and say, oh, I want someone who specializes in something.
Okay.
I'm not a specialized grief counselor. I'm just not. That's not my strength. I mean, but I do have clients that have certain things they would like to express and talk about. But if they have something more significant than my expertise, I will refer them out.
Yeah.
But I have clients that come in and say, oh, well, I seen someone for couples therapy. And I said, oh, okay. And they said, but they didn't really have the background in, and they really didn't seem like they knew what they were doing. I'm like, first of all, why are you seeing that person?
Yeah.
Second of all, why is this person doing this type of work?
I'm gonna say this. I think there's this misconception that therapists can do any kind of therapy, like marriage and family, individual. Mm-hmm. I'll say this, as a individual therapist, couples is not my thing. Mm-hmm. Marriage and family therapy is not my thing. Mm-hmm. I've done it a couple times. Mm-hmm. First of all, I didn't feel comfortable because mm-hmm. it's a lot to have that many people in one session. So kudos to you mm-hmm. being able to do that. And it's just something that I can't do it. Right. You know, I'm sure if I learn and went to school, and not even just went to school, right. but just
study
the skill set and study it, because it's a certain kind of skill set you have to have to facilitate so many people in one group. So right. I stay away from that. When I think about grief, because for some reason we get a lot of people who call our offices who want grief. Now, I will say this. Grief is a trauma response, right? Something traumatic has mm-hmm. happened, which is why you're grieving. I am a trauma-informed/healing-centered therapist. However, I still refer out to a grief specialist according to the based on traumatic experience, mm-hmm. right? So someone calls the office, they've experienced, you know, some form of grief. We tend to refer out. And I think right. that's what we do a good job of saying, you know what, that's not our expertise. Because at the end of the day, I care about the client getting help, whether mm-hmm. it's with TMH or not.
Right.
That's just where I'm at with it.
Mm-hmm.
What about the therapist who counsels all the time? And let me just say this, nothing wrong with counseling sessions, but I've had clients mm-hmm. say, my last therapist canceled sessions too much.
Yes.
What is too much, you think, in 1 month? If you see a client 4 times.
3 times.
Mm.
Elite. If you miss it 75% of the time, that is a lot. That is a red flag. Like, obviously something is going on for that therapist, and they need to, I always say, we model for our clients. So if something's going on, they're paying attention. Sometimes our clients just have this respect for us. They don't say anything.
Yeah.
They just kind of keep it to themselves, and they might just ghost you. But 75% of the time you're not there, you have to check in and say, hey, what's going on for me? Then I might need some time, take some personal time. And that's okay to say, hey, I'm not going to be able to be present. I have some personal things going on. I need to take a personal leave of absence. I can refer you to somebody else. But I think that's what it is. It's just like 75%. No.
I will say, like, my motto is, so like, we have a cancellation policy at TMH. And so what we say is, if you are someone who misses, if you don't attend in a 3 month span, if you miss like 2 to 3 sessions, that's a problem, right? Mm-hmm. So I take that same approach mm-hmm. with my clients. Like, if I'm missing, like you said, more like 75% of my sessions, then that can be an issue.
Yeah.
What about the therapist who pushes their beliefs on their clients? And what I mean is, let's just say, for example, I'm a Christian and mm-hmm. I talk about Christianity, even though I'm not marketing as a Christian therapist, right? It's different. You go to a Christian therapist. Mm-hmm. Usually people who are Christian therapists, they say that, but let's just say that's not the niche of your practice, but you mm-hmm. just happen to be a Christian and your therapist is pushing that belief on you. That's a red flag too. Like, pushing mm-hmm. what they believe, how they feel is a red flag.
It is a red flag because it's no longer about your client.
Yep.
It's about you and what you try to project or want them to follow or lead. Mm-hmm. And how is that really serving your client's yep. purpose? So yeah, that is a red flag. It's not okay to push or project.
Yep.
And I know projecting is a little different because we do, as people, we have our own human experiences, but projecting can definitely harm our clients. So
yes,
we have to make sure that we check in with ourselves. That's why we have supervision,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's why we talk about those things. So we got to be aware. I know it has happened in even our practice, that projecting, and I'm a supervisor. So I have to check in and say, hey, what was going on for you? What's happening? You know, because I can check when they're saying having a conversation with me about what took place. I'm like, it sounds like a little projecting was going on. And so that's when we talk about that. And then we kind of get to the core of what's going on for that client, for that therapist. And then we make sure to kind of go back and kind of clear that up the next time to make sure that don't continue to be an issue.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember this early on when we started working together. And I don't know if this is part of projecting or not, but remember how you used to laugh at me, but you'll be like, you're right though. How when we would do supervision and I would be like, Tasha, don't tell me how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel I feel. It's like, no, I don't care how you feel. Mm-hmm. What did you observe? And what's your clinical impressions? Right. Because I think that when therapists talk about how they feel, that's a little bit of projecting, because mm-hmm. You're actually letting your feelings be applied to your client's situation. It's like, no, I don't want to hear how you feel. Mm-hmm. I want to hear, like, what did you see? What did you observe? Mm-hmm. You know, what do you think clinically, and you know, how did you help the client process? So,
I do remember that. I think too, when you were saying that, I'm like, I think I was using the wrong term.
Yes. Yes, you were.
Because when I would tell you, you was like, okay, then that's the clinical observation. Exactly. But I think I would use, I feel, instead of clinically, I observe.
Yep.
You know, this is what
feelings
it is.
And observation are two different things.
Yeah.
And as a therapist, let me make it clear, we do have feelings.
Oh, we do.
But it's important. It is important that our feelings don't guide our work.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Your feelings cannot guide the work that you do with your client.
Right.
Any other ones you can think of? Should we talk about that situation when the person called our office?
What?
The inappropriate boundaries.
Oh my God. Yeah. And that's what I'm about to go with.
Okay. Well, let me just tell a story.
Inappropriate boundaries.
This is a really big one. This is probably one of the
biggest
least talked about
one.
Too.
Yeah. Okay.
So I know there was one that, you know, that has come up for you. That's a really big one that I want to get into. And that's the inappropriate boundaries.
Yes.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So I know I did an intake with a couple seeing this particular therapist for couples counseling and individual therapy. I am not a fan of that.
Yes. Before you get into that, can I just say, you know, I'm big on this mm-hmm. and this is the culture of our practice. We do not recommend that a therapist who is seeing someone for individual should also see that same person and their mate or partner for couples.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother issue. We're going to do a whole episode on why we believe that should not happen and right. the clinical implications with that. But go ahead.
Yeah. So they went to this therapist, female therapist, for couples counseling, mm-hmm. and they was going in for infidelity. And the counselor, the therapist, knew the mistress for the husband. But I don't think it was explored in that session that she knew this person, but I think it was communicated to the husband in individual therapy, allegedly.
Okay.
Like, allegedly, this is the way I'm remembering.
Right. Allegedly.
Right. So, and that the mistress was sending messages to the therapist to give to the husband. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
So, the mistress is sending the therapist, who's her friend, to, okay, the mistress is sending messages to the therapist for the husband,
mm-hmm.
and the therapist is giving the messages to the husband.
Mm-hmm.
That's the inappropriate boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
This is inappropriate. Just all inappropriate,
all
unethical. It's
everything, right?
It's everything. It's wrapped up in a nice little nasty little bread. Because that was just when the wife told me that, I just continued. I'm so sorry. I'm so sure. Like, well, it's not your fault. I said, I understand, but that was not okay.
Yeah,
that's not okay. That is just the point that you're coming for a service to get help in your marriage, and this person is deliberately like tearing it down even more.
Yeah,
like. Thankfully, your husband was able to come to you and have that conversation
exactly.
with you and be open to you about it, because who would have known if this didn't happen, where this could have went, you know? And I'm like, and I mean, that you could have totally erased this woman's license, because that's inappropriate. It's unethical. It's not cool. It's like, you're not doing what's in the best interest of your clients.
Yep.
And it also may make it harder for me, because I'm going behind scar tissue.
Yes, you are.
Infidelity.
Yeah.
And inappropriate boundaries.
Yep.
As a black, and I'm a black woman.
Yep.
Who this happened to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it was just, the husband had a really hard time wanting to come to therapy. The wife was really pushing it. And I think it was just that bad that even though we went through the whole process, they never really came in, mm-hmm. because I think he just could not do it.
I don't blame him. And it wasn't having to do with you. He lost lack of trust instantly, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. that's a lot. And I think it's important as therapists that you talked about this, we do that at TMH, we mm-hmm. disclose the relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't work with this person
right.
because I went to school with them, or I know
right,
them, right?
I know
you're,
yep.
you're not that far removed. Like,
right.
I don't see anything wrong with a therapist seeing a person they was in first grade with, second grade. Like, you don't know that person anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But not someone who they kicked it with last week.
Right.
It's a difference. So I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So as we wrap up this episode, there's been a lot of therapist red flags. There's mm-hmm. one that we didn't touch on that mm-hmm. I want to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have had some dialogue about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we finally agree on it. But no,
right.
when a therapist pushes a client to talk about things or pushes them to do things things they're not ready to do, mm-hmm. right? Whether that's processing something, acknowledging something, right? Mm-hmm. I think that could be a red flag. And mm-hmm. I say that because, you know, the therapy session is always about the client. And I think it's important that the therapist meets the client where they're at. Now, I'm not saying you can't push, because mm-hmm. I'll use my own self as an example. I'm in therapy. I'm very, very transparent about that. And my therapist pushed me and I was upset with her. Mm-hmm. But my clinical mind said she was right. Right.
Right.
But she did it in a way that made me feel comfortable, right? Even though I was mad at her, it was so funny. I was mad at her in session. I was like, why is she doing this? Like,
right.
But as a clinical therapist, she did it correctly. Shout out to Jamila Jones. But yeah, I think that we have to be aware of that, right?
And
you talk about that too. Like, let's get right to it. Like, especially when you know, like, okay, the client is ready. Let me empower them to be ready.
Let me empower them.
Yeah,
yep. And sometimes going through the back door.
Yes.
You know, I may not direct. And sometimes even not having a conversation, we're having a conversation about not having a conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, that metacommunication. Let's talk about why we're not having this conversation.
Yep.
What do we think is going to happen? What's the worst thing that can happen? So let's kind of, because what we're tapping into is the fears.
Yes.
If we tap into the fears, then the conversation is going to be a little bit easier.
Yeah.
And if you feel that support from your therapist and you feel heard, appreciated, nurtured through those conversations. And if you're coming in, like I said, clients will come in and say the reason they stopped going to the other therapist because they didn't challenge on the issues.
Yep.
So now I am going to challenge you on the issues, but I'm going to chip away at it.
Like,
we've been seeing each other. I know we have a good relationship. You have shared a lot of things. You have talked about a lot of things. I think you're strong enough. And then we're doing little things along the process to see how... Are you ready?
Yeah.
And if you're passing every little test I'm giving you, then I'm like, okay, let's see how this works. So I'm going to chip at that challenge and see how you receive it. And sometimes you don't even know I'm doing it.
Exactly.
So that really helps out. So then I'll say, you know what you just did? And they're like, what? I said, you just started the process.
Mm-hmm.
You just started that real, we have the climax now. And they'd be like, what? I'm like, yeah, don't even know. And it's kind of like when you're at a doctor's office and they'd be like, you don't like them needles? Because I'm not a needle person. And you'd be like, I don't want no needle. They'd be like, okay, well, you're not going get it. But they say count to three, you'd be like, one, all is done. That's kind of the way I like to do it. So you don't even know what's happening.
It's almost like having a mirror in front of the client and letting them see what you did without letting them see what you did.
Yep.
But also, like, I think about the work that I've done and like, especially like those nonverbal cues, right? And the client, you're allowing the client to just be like, you know, you and I have had this conversation. This is one of the things that I do as a therapist or have done, because I'm not really seeing clients right now, but I don't offer tissue when clients cry. Like, unless they're like heaving out of control. Mm-hmm. But like, for me as a therapist, when I offer tissue, that to me says it's not okay to cry and not okay to give, you know, to it's not okay to cry and express those emotions, right? I kind of give clients the space to do that. And I think I do that because I work with men and boys.
Right.
And for me, I recognized early on that men, especially black men and boys, don't always have the space to express how they feel.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I go, this may be the one time that they feel comfortable and vulnerable enough to cry. So I let them have their moment and let them know that it's okay. And then I offer the tissue.
And I'll just give you a sneak peek. I have used that technique a little bit.
You know, of course you have.
don't take it too far.
Okay.
Don't take too far. Let's bring it back.
No.
But no, I have used, I'm like, you know what? I think I like that idea. So I do use it with my couples. I've done it individually too, but I have done it with my couples and just allowing them to have the space to be in that moment. And also just encouraging the partner to like embrace that.
Yep.
You know, embrace that this person is hurting, like embrace that. What could we do to like support this person in this moment and have a conversation? Like, what would these tears say?
Yeah.
What are they saying? What if we had to put a voice or put a language to it, what we want to hear? And so giving them that empowerment to say it's okay. Like you said, because a lot of places we don't want no one to see us cry.
Yep.
We don't want no one to see us weak, because a sign of crying is weakness.
Yep.
And a sign of crying is strength.
Yes, it is.
It's saying we're letting it out. We're letting it flow. We're letting it heal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm so glad that we're in a space that we can do that. And the only time I probably will get tissue is like, okay, you just not know the place.
Right. That's what I see. Like, unless it's like that. But I think that initial and letting them, for me at least, you know, having that space to say, okay, without even saying anything,
right,
it's okay. Get it out and we can be there for each other.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anything else before we wrap up? This is a heavy episode.
Yeah, it was definitely a heavy episode. But these are just some of the red flags. I'm pretty sure it's way more. Yes. But these are just some ones that we've encountered or we've had clients talk about. So I'm pretty sure you have more. But if so, you know, you let us know so we can talk about those too.
Right. So, you know, guys, at the end of the day, know that when you are choosing a therapist, use your own voice. Mm-hmm. And know that, and I know we said this before, but I want to reiterate it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to meet with the first therapist that you come across. Mm-hmm. If you see any of these red flags or any other red flags, it is okay. It's okay to change therapists.
Because you know my motto, therapy is like a good pair of shoes. Okay.
And so, on that note, make sure y'all follow us at Raw With A Purpose on all social media platforms.
Yep.
Follow TMH Behavioral Services on all social media platforms. Titani Harris, TMH Man Cave on all social media platforms.
And you can follow me on IG at LatashaD29. Also, RawWithAPurpose.com. We have our own website now.
Yes, we do.
So you can come on there. Also, we have a Gmail account, RawWithAPurpose@gmail.com. So if you have comments, feedback, or any topics you would like for us to talk about, please shoot them there.
Yes, thank y'all. See y'all next time.
See ya. Bye.